Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, it's so near the end of the age, and it draws closer and closer, and we pray for the unsaved to become born again, sold out followers of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Have you noticed how often we expect perfection from other people? It might be from a pastor, or from a politician, or from prophetic people. Too often, we expect perfection from other people, but then we forgive ourselves for our own imperfections. And of course, we live in a society where people do expect perfection from the professional people like doctors or politicians or policemen or pastors. And yet, nobody is perfect. None of us are perfect. But we want everybody to act perfectly with us. So for all the imperfection that is going on, let us try to be, yes, careful, and yes, forgiving. And when I think of all the mistakes that people make and have made, or the ones that I have made, it makes me feel forgiving, for me at least. Now think about the things that are going on right now in the world, and people are being misinformed in the political or the military or the societal positions. And we can even wonder about what's going on with this eclipse that just happened. Do you think people know what it really means? Or is there something that we just don't understand? Well, we do understand things as best we know how, but certainly we don't know what God knows. And we do believe the Bible, but there are different ways to read what the Bible says. What is the context of the Bible anyway? And what is the time frame of the events that are described in the Bible? Certainly, in prophecy, there is a lot of room for interpretation. Just like in the Bible, there is room for interpretation. But let us pay attention to the principles that are put forward. What is the principle that is being expressed? Well, I've long said that we must pray before we read the Bible, and after we read the Bible also. Pray for guidance and understanding. I think about many parts of the Bible and have questions. I know for a long time the book of Ezekiel has made an impression on me, and Ezekiel has several concerns going on in it. For instance, to be the watchman. Are you a watchman? Maybe you are. Maybe that's a part of what I talk about too. Well, here on earth, we do want to watch over the people we love, especially our children, but also the innocent. And some of us can do more good and helpful things than others. And sometime we just have to pray for our children, grandchildren, and the innocent people around us. Lots of reasons to pray. And then, once we pray, there can be lots of reasons to act in a godly way. So remember that too. I know I think of the founding fathers, and I think, yes, they prayed. There is evidence and testimony that they prayed. But there is also evidence and testimony that they took action in a good and godly way because they loved their fellow people. And that is a part of what I think we are to do too. Yes, have an active prayer life and then act out in a godly way on the prayers that we can. You look at all the people in the Bible, those so-called Bible heroes, or the national heroes. Yes, we know they prayed, But we also know that they acted in a godly and appropriate way whenever they could. So we have this part of our spiritual life that we pray, that we pay attention to as we pray and as we act. We do want to be watchful of the events in the world and know how to deal with things, whether it is gently or aggressively. And when we look at what's going on in the world, oh, even what goes on in Israel and Jerusalem, you look at what happened on October 7th when Hamas made a military-type invasion of Israel. What does that mean? Well, already there are people who are interpreting it as Hamas did nothing wrong. It was really the Israeli military that made mistakes. It's everybody is interpreting things the way they want to interpret them. And you get to look at the facts and look at the circumstances and make sense of what went on in the recent past and the distant past. And that is how we interpret what goes on around us. And of course, we use history and the history in the Bible to try to understand. It's what we do, but we are also aware of the, call it violence? No, it's evil that goes on when there is destruction and murder or rape or cutting people's parts off. This all happened, yes, on October 7th, but also in history. It is a constant that people abuse people, and we want to be sure that we are protected. So we take the steps to protect ourselves one way or another. And certainly being a community is a great big help. We all get to figure out how to do this. As we listen to people, and some people are telling the truth, and some people are telling lies, and we need discernment. Sometime we need the discernment from God, and so we pray for discernment, and we pray for understanding of what is going on around us. I think of the examples we have. I think of Jesus as an example, and I think of how he loves us, and just like our parents loved us. And if you can think of talking to somebody you love and asking for understanding, it might be a parent of yours. It might be asking that from Jesus. And you ask them to give you an answer. And sometime it would be an answer that you can understand with words. And sometimes it is a situation that you see in front of you or in history. Or that something happens to those other people, but you can understand that you can learn from it. And I think that's what we all do. It's a short answer to the questions we ask, and when we can prayerfully ask for these answers. Sometimes we get a simple answer, and sometimes it's rather involved. So let us look at what is around us, and ask the questions and wait for an answer from God. Now, we do know that there are so many things around us, and especially now at this time of the end of days. We have things going on around us. And, well, I of course, I think of what just happened on April 8th, that eclipse of the sun. And of course, I think of Jonah. It was Matthew 12:39, where it is said that Jonah, the sign of Jonah, will be given, and nothing more, because it is an evil and a perverse generation that ask for a sign. but they will not be given one except for the sign of Jonah. Now we can interpret, what is the sign of Jonah? Do you know what it is? Well, it could have been the eclipse, because there was an eclipse. Oh, was it in 367 BC? I think that was the day. There was an eclipse, and that coincides with when Jonah preached to Nineveh. So there are all these questions which we get to pursue and ask God, what is the truth about what is going on? And how can we have the right understanding? So yes, pray, pray, pray for God to give you understanding. And then pray for God to teach you how to act on that understanding. That's what has happened in history over and over. And we can do that again today as we try to recognize what is going on around us and how we can direct our prayers to discern and direct us, give us understanding about what's going on. Yes, we ask the Lord for discernment, and we ask the Lord for just plain old things that we deal with every day. Now, it might be relational, it might be political, it might be a physical thing, because we do have all these things going on around us. I mean, we still have a government that requires taxes, so we might ask about a tax question, or we might ask about troops, U.S. troops in Taiwan, or the recent earthquake in Taiwan, or there have been so many earthquakes around. Now, they're not the great big ones, but they are earthquakes, and they are showing us that an earthquake could happen any time. There are even earthquakes that are along the Cascadia subduction zone off the coast of California, Oregon, and Washington. And there are even earthquakes in the neighborhood of the New Madrid fault line. That is typically in Missouri, but it spreads out from there. And these are things that are going on right now in our life. And we can ask God for understanding. And we might get a verbal something. He might speak to us in our thoughts. Or we might get an understanding from somebody or something in the world. And that's just what happens. Now, we have things going on where we want to know the answers now, but it doesn't mean we will know them now. It just means we get to ask about them and ask God to show us one way or the other. I do think about the tragedies in the world and how people live and people die, and at the end of the age, we know there's going to be lots of people who do, in fact, die. And that's something that we want to remember as we tell people about Jesus. In a way, it's never too late to turn to Jesus, but that's something I'm afraid I get to talk to you about, and you get to determine what it is. I'm not God, obviously, and we all see things a little bit different. And certainly there is uniformity among pastors, maybe among denominations, and that's something I think we are each responsible for our own choices. So we get to look at what we are going to do, knowing that millions of people die every day, and people we know die every day. But it's never too late, as long as we are alive. I think of Hebrews 9:27, which says, "It is appointed once to die, and then the judgment." So that's as much as we know, because that's what the Bible says, and the Bible has proven to be true in every case that it talks about things. It might talk about archaeological things, and there have been people who would say, no, that wasn't the case. There wasn't a spring there or a temple there or whatever it is, and then people search further and they find out that the Bible is actually true, that there really was a temple or a spring or something else there. So it's another reason that shows us that we can trust the Bible to be accurate and true. So let's read the part that talks about our faith in Jesus also, and let us develop that faith. Let us choose it and then pursue it. I know there's lots of questions about things today or things actually in all of history. And I know lately we have this April 8th eclipse, and we kind of wonder, what does that mean? What does it mean to us? Does it mean it's a sign of war like it has been in the past history? Eclipses were always seen as a sign of chaos or upheaval or war. That's been tradition. But for what it really means for us is something that we all get to search out and understand. Ask God, Lord, what do you want me to understand about this eclipse and what does it mean? I think it's just kind of amazing that there was one in 2017 and one in 2024. And together those two eclipses make an X right over the New Madrid earthquake area in Missouri. That was such a big earthquake in 1810 that the church bells rang in Boston, which was like 1,000 miles away from the New Madrid center of the earthquake in Missouri. So it was far-reaching, and we know if it happened once, it can happen again. The witnesses to the 1811 earthquake on the New Madrid fault talk about how the earth moved, the earth shifted. There was a great deal of shaking for that earthquake. It even caused that great big Missouri River to flow backwards for a few hours, maybe half a day, something like that, because of the plates under the soil moving, and it caused that mighty river to flow backwards. It's simply amazing how one thing or another changed. So we can pay attention that New Madrid fault in Missouri could cause us to have problems with this or with that. So sure, I can tell you I don't understand what it really means, and maybe nobody does. I don't know, but it means something. We don't know exactly what it means, but we know that there is a direction, and we can pay attention to that direction and think about what God is trying to say. I know that, let's see, and it's in Matthew. He says in Matthew 12:38 that there will be no sign given except the sign of Jonah. And we think that means an eclipse because that has happened. But that sign of Jonah, Matthew 12, Mark 8 and Luke 11, it talks about that it will be a sign, but it's not like we know the whole thing spelled out perfectly. It just means that something is going on, and I think it's a really good idea to pay attention to it. Well, we have things going on in the world around us, so it's something we can all pay attention to. What makes sense? Now, I leave it up to you to see what makes sense to you. I mean, I know what makes sense to me. To me, I've had this feeling inside of me to have preparation for the just in case. And I talk about that a fair amount. And I think that we do just a little bit towards it. And I just say water, food, and warmth, whatever that means. We all have a different idea. And then we are also a part of a community that cares for one another. Now, what that community is always going to be different. It might be your church. It might be your neighborhood. It might be your horse riding club, a motorcycle club. I don't know what it is. All I know is it's good to help one another. And if we are a community in a time of trouble, we will get through the hard parts so much better. Even if it's a life and death matter, we still get through things better if we have something that can help us or people that can support us. So that's what I think of, and I hope you give it a look and see what makes sense to you. I know there's a lot of things going on, and we get to figure out what things mean right now. Yes, the eclipse is one of them. Oh, but you know that Israel was attacked by Iran, or you might want to look before that and say that Israel did something, or somebody else did something to somebody else, and now there's an attitude of war going on. Well, you know there were 329 missiles that got fired into Israel. They were every sort of missile. They were both drones and cruise missiles and ballistic missiles. All of the different kind of things were fired into Israel from several different areas, mostly Yemen and Iran. So we have that going on. And so we can see there is a potential for conflict to grow. It often doesn't just stop. It continues either in out-and-out warfare or in cyber warfare or something that is hidden that we do not see immediately. But we know there is conflict going on. And I think that's the biggest lesson we can take from what is going on. We might not need to know what exactly is going on. In fact, it changes. What exactly is going on changes and goes to this way or that way. But if we know the generality about what is going on, I think that's probably the best thing we can do. And we can see that there are attacks going on, and there is expensive warfare going on. There is lives that are being changed and lives that are being lost and lives that are being saved. All this is going on in the world around us. So let us look to see what is going on and see how we can get through it and preserve ourselves, our family, and others. Now, we can expect that one day we will die so we can prepare for the eternal judgment that will someday come to us, and we will want to follow God's word and God's Bible and be prepared for eternity. We'll do that one way or another, and so many people don't even think about it. They are completely unprepared for death, and death just comes along and takes them. We know people who've had that happen very much. So it is better if we search the scripture and try to understand what matters, what is significant. Speaking of scripture and that eclipse in Jonah's day, it was obvious that he preached to Nineveh that there were 40 days to repent. And if not, Nineveh would be destroyed. Well, Nineveh did repent, and they were preserved for over another 100 years. How nice that they were not killed with the destruction that would have gone on. And maybe the United States is looking at that same choice. Are we going to repent, or are we going to be destroyed? Again, If that sign of Jonah is accurate, then it would be 40 days from April 8th, May 19th. So we have things that are just going on. It just shows that if that is the pattern, we don't have just a lot of time. How are we going to prepare for whatever is coming? Do you think it'll be eternity? Or do you think it'll be a chaos within our country? Well, we certainly have forces within our country that want chaos. We have countries that want to take over the United States and use its resources. And mostly that means natural resources. So we just get to see what we see and prepare for things that are going on. I think it is also a notable sign that Passover will be April 22, 2024. So it kind of lines up with that 40 days after the eclipse. It's all in the same neighborhood, and maybe God has it planned exactly to the day that something will happen. I would not be surprised if it was to the day. But I also know that it might be a general time frame for things to happen. So if you're going to look at May 19th, fine, look at it. But I think you can also do well to look at what it means in that neighborhood of time. Try to understand, or pray to God, ask God for understanding. And just like all our founding fathers did, we pray to God for understanding, and then we take action. This is the pattern. It's not just that we pray. Yes, we are Christians, and we do pray to God and ask for this or for that. And then what? Do we do nothing? No, all our founding fathers in Christian tradition is that we act on what we know, whether it is coming destruction or the coming of a new America country. That is something we all can understand, that we pray and then we take action. Isn't that the pattern of the Bible? Yes, it is. And then we see what has gone on. We can be prepared for this or for that. And I think of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all talk about the end of the age and earthquakes coming. And then I think of the New Madrid with the eclipse right over the fault line. And I've heard those prophetic people speak. Yeah, look, I have a lot of questions about prophetic people. I don't want to believe them, but I know that it could be true that, and it's been said a couple of times, that when the New Madrid fault line goes off, it will disrupt the rest of the earthquake regions, and it'll make the Cascadia earthquake off the coast of California, Oregon, and Washington, it'll make that get triggered too. Well, do I know? Of course I don't know. God did not speak to me, but I have heard all these people talk about what could happen or would happen, but I don't know. I think of the United States Office of Emergency Services. And they say that if that Cascadia subduction zone has an earthquake, that everything between the coast and Interstate 5 will be wiped out. Well, it's not just that what we have to prepare for. It is also the trucks won't be able to get through on the highways. It'll be the gas lines are disrupted. It'll be the water lines that will not supply water to your house if the lines get broken or if they need to be inspected before the water district can deliver water to your home. When I think of that Cascadia subduction zone earthquake, They talk about it being over a 9.0 on the Richter scale, and that means there would be 5 minutes of violent shaking. Now, that's not too different from the 1811 New Madrid earthquake either. Minutes of shaking. Minutes. Now, if you look back on the last two earthquakes that we have experienced, the 1989 Loma Prieta in the Bay Area of California, or the 1994 Rockridge earthquake in Southern California, those two earthquakes wrecked overpasses and freeways, and they shook for less than 20 seconds. 20 seconds! And we are talking about a Cascadia for over 5 minutes of violent shaking. And the New Madrid would be, we expect that to be close to it, but that one is not quite so determined. Now, when I was young, I was in Anchorage, Alaska, the day after the 9.0 Alaska earthquake. And Anchorage was kind of wrecked. There was great earth movement. The stores were wrecked. It was quite something. So I can tell you that if we have a great big earthquake, it's going to disrupt everything. Water, food, and supplies will probably not be available for a few months. And this is just another reason for us to get ready in every way. I think that it would also disrupt communications, or call it phone lines, and therefore the stores would not be able to use their cash registers because of electrical, or they would not be able to have banking through credit cards because their cash registers would not be functioning. And if there was that kind of a problem, it would almost for sure last months. Now, do I know if months means 2 months or 10 months? No, I don't. But I know that we had all better be mindful of what could happen. And I think of that Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans in 2011. Hurricane Katrina disrupted everything, and people were hungry for months. It was some of the churches came in and helped out, but FEMA did not do anything really for a few months, and we don't know how long it would take to get government relief to certain areas, especially if there was a huge earthquake. So that means let's get ready ourselves. After all, we are our best source of preparedness. I remember on that Hurricane Katrina, there were people who got violent and decided to take what they wanted. So they took their guns out and stole from their neighbors. And that caused law enforcement to come out and go door to door confiscating guns. And they said, well, desperate times call for desperate measures. So that's what the authorities did. And maybe it's something that you want to pay attention to so that you don't put yourself in a position of being vulnerable. I don't know what to say. All I know is this has happened. And so we want to be prepared for whatever is coming our way. Now, I know when I talk about things like this, there are people who would say, John, you're being kind of negative here, aren't you? And I say, well, the other part to say is that I'm being positive because I'm talking about what could happen and how beneficial it would be for each one of us to have some preparedness, water, food, and supplies. Now, I do know that every state and federal agency has a concern about providing emergency services. And they do tell us that disasters are sure to come our way. They just don't know what and they don't know when. So it's a good reason for us to understand that we should have some preparedness supplies. And maybe you're one of the people who says, I don't know why we would have a disaster after all. God loves his people, and we are God's people, right? Well, yes, but God also hates the sin that is going on all over the world, including in America. So we could understand if there was actually a warning going on for some great big huge problem coming to America. I'll let you think about what that could be, but well, I think about Ezekiel. Again, I'm thinking Ezekiel 14:13, how it says there that God will judge a people when there is persistent unfaithfulness. And I think you can look around and ask yourself, is there persistent unfaithfulness in the United States of America? If that's the case, then you can read in the Bible here and there, but also Ezekiel 14:13, where it describes that there will be famine and pestilence and the sword. And the sword could mean war or it could mean terrorism. So we have reason to expect that things are going to be some pretty notable problems. And that's something which we each get to figure out what it means to us personally. Are we going to take a moment to prepare with water and water filter, food, whether it's cans or grains or rice? By the way, there's a lot of people who think they're going to eat cans of food. Yeah, me too. I know that I have cans of food. But there was a time when I did eat cans of food because that's what there was and I was hungry. And I found out that one person, me, would eat 5 cans of food a day. So it's not just that you have a can of food that's going to keep you just satisfied for a day. Like I said, 5 cans in one day for me. And if you have 2 people or 5 people, it really gets to be a lot of cans. So don't forget about that. It's also good to have some white rice or something that can be a long-term grain so that you can prepare for what else is coming. And yes, we have the love of God. And I would say to you, does the love of God mean that God is going to feed you in the wilderness? Or does it mean that he is going to tell you how you can take care of yourself? Well, look at Scripture. What are the examples in Scripture? Mostly, they are so that the people could provide for themselves. So that's what I would urge you to look at. How can you provide for yourself and your loved ones? Now, this applies in every way. It's not just in case of a disaster, but it is also in eternity. How can you provide for yourself and the people you love? You can talk about Scripture. You can talk about salvation through Jesus Christ. All these are part of what we do to tell the truth of the gospel to those who we love and know. Yep, there's going to be a way and a time to show our love of our neighbor, which could be to feed them, and it could be to tell them about the good news of the gospel. So be prepared. Be prepared for whatever is coming. It's a part of that obedience that we want to have, obedient to Christ. And that obedient is yes on earth and yes in the afterlife. We want to be obedient to God, Jesus Christ, in heaven. And we want our treasures to be stored up in heaven and not just on earth where they can be lost. So that's a part of what we do to understand God's word and tell others about the love of Jesus Christ. And it's a part of humanity that things go on, and we know that it's not always good. Sometimes there's some really unpleasant things that go on that humans do to other humans. So that's a part of our preparedness too. And it is preparedness in every way. Now you think about it, and you think about how you can be prepared for those things that just might come no matter what happens. And I know that each one of us has our own experience and our own expectations, and we use them to guide us to what we will do in the future. We also know that not every person is a good person. Some people are not somebody we want to be around because they can be either irresponsible or just plain bad people, full of evil. And we know that evil people will try to confuse us and give us different expectations of what we expect. So it's a matter of you being cautious and you being smart when you know that people want to deceive you and they want what you have. Now that just happens in ordinary life with ordinary things, whether it's buying something at the store where somebody wants what you have, or might be your money, or it might be, look at right now, we have migrants coming into this country by the millions. And I know when you are poor and you don't have the stuff you want, you try to get it. And what is their means to acquire? Well, for some of them, it's going to be to outsmart the people of America, and some of them it will be to steal from the people of America. And that is going on all over the place. There is such a great amount of theft, and that's the part of why the rich people, you know, billionaires or maybe millionaires, are building a bunker so that they can be safe when things fall apart. Now, we know that there are hundreds of bunkers going up because the rich people do not feel that their future is safe. And so they are working at how to stay safe in the midst of chaos and calamity. Of course, I don't know what it'll be. A lot of people don't know what it will be, but we can tell that there is something going on and that there will be consequences for the real physical things that are going on. And there will be consequences for the spiritual things that are going on. God will judge every nation that is unfaithful. And you can look at what's going on and determine for yourself if you think we should be concerned. Now, there's a lot of people who think that they can fool other people and get what they need. And, oh yes, that's going to go on a whole lot. But there's other people who think they can fool God because, after all, they've been so good at fooling people for decades, for years and decades. So they think, oh, I'm really good at fooling. I can fool God. That's what some people say. And so they are not concerned about judgment because they think they can fool God. No, I don't think so. God is all-knowing, perfect in what his judgment is. So that just makes me want to remind you to follow God, get to know God, study what the Bible says, and become a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, probably there's all sorts of things that are going on and that will go on, and it is up to each one of us to search out that relation with Jesus Christ in the midst of all the troubles. Now, I do think of the troubles going on in 2 Peter 3. That reflects what is going to happen to, well, I think it'll happen everywhere, to everybody, to be in a society and a world where all these troubles are going on. I mean, I feel the same way about Revelation 18, where it says Babylon is fallen, is fallen. So we have the different parts of the Bible that remind us that we want to be followers of Jesus Christ. And I will just quote Revelation 21:8 here. And it says, "Who will have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with brimstone, which is the second death?" Now, I say that because Revelation 21:8 is kind of a surprise if you read it, because the first part says, "Who will go into the lake of fire are the fearful and the unbelieving." Now, maybe you know what fearful means, and maybe you know what unbelieving means. Or it continues, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, I remember when I first read that and I thought, what, the fearful are going to go into the lake of fire? Well, look at the themes that are in the Bible. And God wants us to be strong for Jesus Christ. Good, strong witnesses of God here on earth. So when I read that it says the fearful, I wonder if that means if we are afraid to tell others about Jesus. Now, please read these things for yourself. I'm trying to figure it out, but it's plain and simply obvious when you read it, but you get to figure out what it means exactly. And therefore, what should you do about it? Should you be strong and bold to preach the good news of the gospel to the people you know and love? Yeah, I think that's a pretty good start. Maybe you should talk to your pastor, see what they say. But it does call on us to be strong and bold. And then there's that Revelation 21:8 that says, the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So, we know what it says. Now let's do something about it. Let us be strong and bold. There are places in the Bible that we are told to be strong and bold. There's a Deuteronomy 31:6 uses those words, strong and bold. And there's 2 Chronicles 28:20 that talks about being strong and courageous. So you can listen to the words, or you can try to understand the meaning of what's going on. What do you think God wants you to do? And are you doing it? Or are you in danger of going to that lake of fire? I don't mean I know. It's not my place to know. It's not my place to judge. It's only my place to tell you that I am concerned about everybody, every one of us. So please keep looking around and continue to read. Read the commandments. I think of John 14:21. Whoever has kept my commandments, it is he who loves me. I mean, we talk about loving Jesus, and he says what loving Jesus means. It means we keep God's commandments. And so, what are those commandments? Well, maybe we should read them again. Maybe we should read the Bible to understand what it is that God wants from us. Now, we have God's Word, the Bible, right in front of us, so let's try to understand what it means and what it means to love Jesus. And what would you say when you meet Jesus? We all are going to meet Jesus one day. So be sure that you can understand what it is that he wants from you and how you can show him your faith and how you really do love him. Keep his commandments and know what those commandments are. Now, we have these words in a book, the Bible, that tell us. So we don't have an excuse to say, well, I didn't know you meant that, Lord. Jesus, what were you trying to tell me? I didn't know. Well, can you read it? Can you get it on tape and listen? It reminds me of the people who buy something. Let's just say they buy an appliance, and it comes with a warranty, and it tells you the terms of the warranty. So you get to read what the warranty says or does not say. It's written instructions. Did you follow the instructions? Well, we have a Bible. It's the book of instructions also. So are you going to one day meet Jesus and say, I didn't know? Or are you going to say, oh Lord, I didn't read your instructions, so I didn't know what to do? Well, you get to figure that out, and you get to see what you are going to do. And please, search it out so that you get an understanding of when you get to speak to Jesus. What are you going to say? It's pretty clear that he wants us to be followers of Jesus Christ, and for that we have to know who is Jesus and what did he say. What does the book of instructions talk about? You get to read it, you get to search it out, and you get the consequences of your decision, which ultimately mean heaven or hell. That's what it really means. So look at what is around us. Yes, in the spiritual world and in the physical world. And all these things are part of how we relate to each other and relate to God. It's wonderful. And yet there's things that we would do well if we knew, if we could understand. Now the world is an amazingly wonderful place with goodness and love, but it also is full of corruption in every way. Corruption between people, between governments, in every way. So we get to understand how it is that we are going to live with people around us, with the governments around us, and we get to see what we expect from other people, whether they're public servants, police workers, medical workers, somebody who says they care for us. We get to figure it out. And it's not always easy, and certainly it's not always kind, but we get to look and figure it out. Now let's hope we don't have to relearn that lesson, because we are told, and we can learn, and we want to do what we understand is right in the eyes of God Jesus. Now we can follow the people. If we follow the people on the earth, we just might be jumping off a cliff. And that's what so many people did. Do you remember your mother or grandmother telling you, if everybody would jump off a bridge, would you jump off also? Well, a lot of us are jumping off the bridge because we want to do what everybody else is doing. And that might not be the best for us. So look at it, figure it all out, and see what you think you should do about preparing for the future, whether it's spiritually, with heaven, or whether it's about a physical future with caring for the people you love and you and people around you. What are you going to do to be able to help people? Now, we know there's a time of trouble coming up, and we know that some things are just going to be very important for us to have so that we can show our love for one another. And that's certainly what we're called on to do, love one another. And what is love? It's caring about what their future is. Are they going to have enough to eat? Are they going to have warmth? Oh, what about going to heaven? Isn't that caring about their future? Oh, yes, it is. So be sure to look at what's going on. And you know, you can always listen to any other broadcasts again by going to this www.christtoday.org. We live in an amazingly wonderful world, but it helps to know what's going on. Oh, and you can always write me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. There are things going on, whether it's with medical and vaccinations or whatever, we have things that are not always healthy for us. So pay attention to what's going on so that we don't have to suffer and we can love the people around us. Well, God bless you. Thank you for today.